I will be speaking about Cain and Abel today. And the story of Cain and Abel is well known to many people around the world. And the huge majority, if asked, religious or not, have at one point or another heard or read about this story. However, a great majority would probably not recognize the meaning and the symbolism it holds for us today. As we read through Genesis chapter 4, I'll pick up on some things that are quite interesting and symbolic throughout the Bible. First, let us look at the line of work. Differentiated between both Cain and Abel in Genesis 4 and verse 2. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel's line of work was very symbolic since he was a keeper of sheep. And we know how David was a shepherd and how Jesus many times was referred to as a keeper of sheep, symbolizing the church and how you have to care for it, to look after it, to watch over it, to love it, feed them, speaking of the church, of course. It showed compassion and it showed love for others. It showed a giving attitude. To even give one's life for them if a circumstance arises. That was the job description of a shepherd. Now Cain's line of work was quite different. It was very labor intensive. Raising fruits and vegetables. And if anybody has ever done that, it's something that doesn't happen overnight. You have to keep tending to it. Now, his type was predicted already by God in the previous chapter, in chapter 3 of Genesis, verses 17 through 19. We read, "Then to Adam he said," saying God, "because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to the dust you shall return." So there was obviously much work involved now to provide food. In verse 3 of chapter 4, we read about the process of time, the end of days, which could signify the end of agriculture, beginning of autumn. Saying, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Now, according to John Gill's exposition of the Bible, this might be after the harvest. After the fruits of the earth were gathered in, and so a proper season to bring an offering to the Lord in gratitude for the plenty of good things they had been favored with. As in later times with the Israelites, there was a feast for the ingathering of the fruits of the earth. Notice this in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16. Exodus 23 and verse 16. "And the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field." So this was a time where they offered up their offerings, which of course is a symbolic for the Feast of Tabernacles, where we also give up offerings to the Lord. Now this shows the brothers must have appeared before God at a precise time near the autumn of the year, meaning that they must have been told by God when to bring them. Now, when it came to what was given, we read in verses 3 to 5 of Genesis 4, where he read that Cain had brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But, verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So we see that God approved Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And as a result, Cain became angry. He had the wrong attitude, since his offering was not from the heart. And in verse 6 and 7, God makes it clear what Cain should do. He says, if you do well, referring to now, since what has already been done has been done, referring to the future now, to bring a proper sacrifice, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin, referring to a sin offering, lies at the door. Now God was really being merciful to Cain here, giving him another chance, showing that God has mercy. If Cain would repent and still bring the proper offering by if you do well, then he would be accepted. But if he did not do so, then a sin offering, would lie at the door. This sin is a sin offering. God said that he would provide a sin offering which would lie at the door, and in verse 7, Cain would have to gain control over sin, over his mistakes, by an offering provided by God, which was a noble gesture of grace, of supplying, great grace of God's part. Yet in spite of this act of mercy, Cain did not accept God's grace of supplying a sin offering for him to master sin. He responded with something terrible and in no way in accordance with God's command. He offered up his own brother. Not the offering that God wanted. But so we read in verse 8 and 9, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So the sin started with murder, or let's say the sin continued with murder, but now it also continued with lying. Started with one, and it led to the next, and leads to the next, and leads to the next. Cain had his chance, and he blew it, and as a result, we see in verse 10, and God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. He was now to be sent away from the land, he was to be a wanderer, one without a fixed dwelling place. Yet Cain considered this punishment to be harsh, more than he can handle, as we see in verses 13 and 14. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Cain's punishment involved him being driven out from the land he formerly tilled and away from the face of God. However, that wasn't really his concern. He did not show any remorse of what he had done by killing his brother. That was forgotten in his mind. And as we can see, he did not repent of that sin. Now, again, showing God's mercy, he could have killed him right there and then on the spot, but God chose to spare his life, perhaps still giving him a chance to think about what he had done so his heart could change. But that didn't seem to be the case. We saw here how one brother was more righteous than the other and also more giving, especially in the heart, while the other brother was not. And because God was more accepting of Abel's offering rather than Cain's, as a result, jealousy crept in and got the better of him. With what started with jealousy and resorted to murder, which is the first recorded murder in the Bible. Now, as a consequence, his life would prove to be very difficult, and his blessings would be taken away. Being righteous could very well have its sacrifices. Because Abel was willing to do what God wanted, to please God rather than to please man, his life was given up. Just as Christ's life was given up as a sacrifice for us, so we can be saved. Now, God could have intervened on Abel's behalf, but he let it happen. And since also God had something better in mind for him anyway, life is only temporary. Abel is righteous in God's eyes, and he will be in God's kingdom. And this right here is a good lesson for mankind. The human nature is a carnal one, and if the death of Abel didn't happen, another one would have been inevitable. See what happened to Adam and Eve. How easy it is for sin to take over. We may think, that little sin eating from that tree. But obviously, God had a plan, had something in store, obviously for each and every one of us. And as we heard this morning, you know how one little thing could change everything. So in this world today, we should have the attitude that Abel had by pleasing God rather than man. Especially with all the changes man is setting forth in this society by making things that are abominable to God acceptable. And we hear about that all the time now. Now we in the church, we will be hated by others because of our beliefs. And the end time prophecies tell us how the church will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And those who hate God and his laws, they will have their reward. But it isn't a pleasant one by any means. And those who love God and his laws will also have their reward with blessings that one can only dream about. Abel's offering was acceptable to the Lord as it came from the heart. And we now have an opportunity to do the same on this high day, the day of Pentecost, as commanded by God to give an offering to our Creator, the one who also gives us blessings in return.